try. Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I mean with my baby.
Yes. Said built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
I got there, she said, you know, rather than go through a long, drawn-out thing, I think the melody on the box will help me explain. Gotta find me an angel. Set me free. My heart's alive.
Welcome to the True Purpose Development Show. I am your host, Princess Adelia, and I'm so glad that you're here. See all of you. I see a lot of you coming in. I wanted to give you guys a little time to come in, and there were some people who were called in, and they were interested in being a part last segment as we'll go through some conversation, and I may open the lines. If you have any questions or if you have any tips regarding Jemiah Bratcher. So today, this is very important conversation I'm going to be sharing. It's pre-recorded, and I'm going to get into that in a moment. I want you to share this. Whatever you need to share on your networks, text it to people. This is very serious. Jemiah Bratcher missing. Not yesterday. It was really discovered that she is a victim of trafficking. Best way to describe what she has been experiencing, and what information came out in the interview. In Atlanta, however, not sure where Jemiah is. No access to Jemiah. No phone reached Jemiah. Jemiah is mentally disabled, been used, scared, manipulated, been raped, Jemiah Bratcher. Hours now. Whatever Jemiah is, we are putting great energy to the effort of bringing her back. We got to put some leg work and action to her back. Leg work and action means the pictures. There are pictures all around. I even have pictures online, and the family has pictures online. People have been posting online pictures. Tit off. Don't have a printer? I'll give you a suggestion. Go to FedEx. Do the FedEx is print and go. FedEx.com. Print and go at FedEx.com. You can send a copy of a picture or whatever and send it over there. Go there and print it out real easy. You can do a print and go, and you can print it out anywhere. So not having a printer, no excuse. We want to eliminate all of the excuses. I want everybody to get an the ground. I don't care what city you're in, because we're not even sure we actually made it back to Atlanta. Very concerned. Family is very concerned. So I want you to tune and get right to interview. So much for tuning in. If you're tuned in, that means you care. And you are really, really concerned about Maya. Her brother, Jaden, to give an update very briefly, there was missing persons report filed. Now there is a missing persons report filed. We'll be going to seek justice. This will be forthcoming. Parties involved as the family sees fit. And right now, first and foremost, Jamaya, talk to the family. Listen to the True Purpose Development Show. I'm your host, Dr. Princess Adelia, back after the recording. And this will be part one. We will be doing a part two, but this is part one.
Nothing lasts forever. No one lives forever. The flower that fades and dies. Winter passes and spring comes. Embrace the cycle of life that is the greatest love. Go beyond fear. Go beyond fear. Beyond fear takes you into the place where love grows. When you refuse to follow the impulses of fear, anger, and revenge. Beyond means to feel yourself.
Welcome to the True Purpose Development Show with your host, Dr. Princess Adelia, the Queen of Inspiration.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining live tonight, the True Purpose Development Show. I am your host, Dr. Princess Adelia. And tonight, we are covering the story. I'm going to have a discussion. You know me, I like to have conversations and to do relevant things for the community. So tonight, what we're going to do is have a discussion with Jamaya Ratcher's mom, her brother, and a friend of the family. We're going to talk about what's really going on with Jamaya Ratcher. As you already know, we've put out in the news on our news feed that Jamaya is missing. And so what's happened to Jamaya? Let's talk about how Jamaya and her twin brother, Jaden, were abused emotionally, mentally, even physically in a system that was supposed to protect them. Let's talk about what we need to do as a community to help Jamaya and her family bring Jamaya back. So I want you to call all of your neighbors, call your friends, call your enemies, because we're going to have a talk so we can understand what is really going on. I want you to hang tight as I bring on Jamaya Ratcher's mother, brother, and a friend of the family. I want to introduce to all of you Jamaya's beautiful mother, her biological mother, Brenda Pipes Nichols. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. I'm doing wonderful.
Well, I'm glad that you're here on the True Purpose Development Show, and I'm going to go around the table because I also have your son, your beautiful son, and that you just reunited with as well, and that is Jaden Bratcher. Jaden, how are you tonight?
Hey, hello.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
You're wonderful. Okay. Well, yeah. Wonderful. I'm so glad that you are here as well, and I'm looking forward to our conversation. Finally, we have a very dear friend of the family, Aquanda Thomas. Aquanda, how are you?
Hello. How are you?
Oh, I'm awesome. I'm so glad that you guys are here tonight. And there goes that hand clap. That, I don't know what that was doing. It didn't do it all the way like it was supposed to. Well, tonight, I want to first say that I am so sorry about everything that is going on. I'm sorry. It's really very sad hearing.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God, yeah. It's so sad, and it's really it raised my antennas, and it's raising a whole lot of people's antennas. So people have questions, but I want us to have a conversation because I know that you are an amazing mom, Brenda. I'm going to start with you first. How did it feel seeing your son Jaden and your daughter Jemiah for the first time after, what is it, 14 years?
It was just impossible. It was God. I mean, when my cousin called me and said, I think this is Jemiah, Ma, but Jaden is on the other side of the town in Atlanta. I said, what do you mean? She said, I think I found her. And, that's one of the best feelings I ever had in my life.
Wow.
So it was Ramaya. So that was good. That was, that was the best thing. It happened. Then I got to ask her, where's Jaden? Because we didn't know they changed their name. Their original name is Ramaya, and his real name is Robert.
Okay.
So
okay, yes,
so
I would
It made it so hard to look for them because we didn't know. They last name had been changed. They was Nichols. So their last name had been changing everything. And by the grace of God,
she
be on YouTube. And I don't be on YouTube. And she was like, Brenda, I'm going to show you the video. This got to be your daughter. Yes.
Was it the video that Ramaya, also known as Jemiah, was it the video that she and her brother put out, or was it the one that was done with the Atlanta interview people?
It was the one done in Atlanta with someone else.
Okay.
It was a video with Ruby and Marcus. Marcus is the Atlanta Street interviewer's name. So, it was the first one she did. So, yeah.
All right, I see. Wow.
So we found a way to connect with Ramaya so she can connect with Jaden because he was at the shelf on the other side of Atlanta. Then we got in touch. Then he called me. He called my cousin, then he called me. And he was like, hi, Mama. I said, whoa. His nickname is Woo. I said, whoa. Is this my Woo? It feels down my body right now. I said, baby, where are you? I said, I'm going to say anything I got to get you here. And that's how he ended up here.
Wow.
Yeah.
And for the sake of, I'm going to refer to them back and forth as their birth names, because you say, just for those of you who have just tuned in, You're listening to the True Purpose Development Show. I'm your host, Dr. Princess Adelia, and I have in the studio today Jamaya Brecher's family, as we are just discovering now that her actual name is Ramaya Nichols, but her name was changed. We'll talk about that later on in the show. And we also have her brother, who everyone knows as Jaden Brecher, and he is also Robert Nichols. That is his birth name. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. Now, we're just in the middle of discussion, and we're having a conversation about this issue because there's some things, some accountability that needs to take place as it relates to the adoptive parents as well as with the system that placed them with the adoptive parents. And there are some things that needs to be cleared up as far as what people are talking about, saying this, that, and the third. Let's get to the truth, and we're talking to the source here. This is a very touching and moving story. Okay, now, Brenda, who is Jemiah's mother, was just sharing her sentiments about getting a call about her children. And you say, now, Jaden came first. Is that what you're saying?
Right, Jaden, Jemiah wasn't with him at first. See, when they got dropped off, they were together, but they had some kind of way they ended up splitting up.
Yeah, so what happened was she had got kicked out of shelter, and so I was like, what? Because they had told me just out of the blue that she got kicked out of shelter, and she went to another shelter and came back to the one that we got dropped off at, then got kicked out again. And then she was just on the streets, right? And then didn't have nowhere to go. And she got that interview with Atlanta Street Interviews. And, then everybody started seeing her video and stuff. And then I guess it circulated back to y'all.
Yeah. My cousin was following them.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Yeah, so my cousin, she saw the video. And then
she called me.
Yeah, she called Mama. And that's how they found her. So then,
where did they find her? Where did they find Ramaya? And Ramaya, for those of you who are just listening, that's actually Jemiah. Ramaya is Jemiah's birth name. Okay, so we're going to refer to her as Ramaya. So Ramaya, she was on the street. So you had her telephone number, right? So you were able to call her. Am I right?
Jade.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a phone number because she had two phones. So I had both her numbers and everything, and we were talking and stuff, right? And so she was like, out of the blue, she just texted me. She was like, I'm going to live with Mama. I'm leaving just. I was like, wait, what? Because I was at the shelter. I was about to go to work. She was out of the blue texting me. I was like, what? So that's how I ended up getting Mama's number. Because she had texted me her number and everything. I was like, what? And so that was that. And I was like, okay, cool.
So after then, where did you... Okay, so you got in touch with her, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Was she was staying at then on the street still?
Yeah, I think... Well, no. I think she was staying with Mo. Because, you know, Ruby, the girl named Ruby, she was staying with her.
Okay, you were staying with... She said she was staying with Ro?
Mo, M-O-E.
Who is
the
Mo?
Girl also known as, the girl known as Ruby.
And Ruby is
yeah.
who? Ruby and Marcus, well, said they're affiliated?
Yeah, so she was like, Ruby, she was the girl that, she was with Jemiah, she's the girl that Jemiah had $4,000 given to her, something like that. So, like, yeah, that was that.
So basically, she was taking her money like she was tipping. Okay.
Okay. Let me. Now this is what I want to. Yeah. This is what. Hold on one second, Brenda. And let's see. I have a question though here. So Jemiah, Ruby is a friend of Jemiah's or a friend of Marcus? That's where I want this cleared up. Who is Ruby specifically? Because I don't know, and I'm asking you this, Jaden. Who is Ruby to Jemiah? How did she meet her? And who and how is this relevant in this situation? Is she affiliated with Marcus, or is she someone that Jemiah left met on the street? And was Jemiah giving money to her, or she was giving money to Jemiah?
All right, so I'm going to say both to that because, okay, so first, Jemiah was on the streets, right? And she has met Ruby. I didn't know none about her. She was just sitting at the park one day. She called me. She was like, hey, what you doing? And I was like, I'm just sitting here. Just doing whatever. And then she was like, this is Ruby and this is Daisy. Those are her two friends. So then she met Ruby / Mo off the streets, right? And then she got in contact with Marcus, I guess, and then the interview flew off with Ramiah. And so what happened was they just did all of this. And so what transpired was, according to my sister.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. So Ruby called Marcus. Or Marcus just ran into them on the street. They ran in on the street, or Ruby actually called Marcus.
Yeah.
Which one?
Okay.
Ruby called Marcus.
Fired, but according to Marcus, he had ran up on Jemiah and Ruby. So I was like, okay, cool. According to him, that's what he said. So they had just met on the street, and the interview happened. And so Ruby and Jemiah were friends. They started living together, apparently, and then they had a falling out. So Ruby and my sister got into a fight, and then my sister left, and that's when she just called me. She was like, do you know anywhere to stay for, like, overnight at a hotel or something like that? And I was like, no, I don't. I didn't even know where she was at it. But then the video happened and all of that. But before all of this happened, Ruby yelled at my sister and was like, the reason why you're famous is because of me and all of that. And that's what my sister said. And then somehow she got $4,000 in that mix from my sister. And then, so then that's what happened.
Oh.
And then got in contact with y'all, right?
She got in contact with me. I asked her where she was at. She said, I'm on the street. She said, I'm at this one shelter. And I said, what shelter? What's the name of it? And she gave me some name. And we were trying to find it. We couldn't find that shelter. I don't know. She was just gave me the wrong name or whatever. Okay. But then once she got here, I said, what's been going on? She said, you know what, Ma? Some days I have to go to a hotel and they'll spend the night with me, but then they want me to do all these strange things. But they'll give me a room, and then they'll kick me out, too. I said, you know, that's not what you have to do. She said, this one guy was on top of me. I said, what? I said, well, it has to be somebody that's taking you there that you know what I'm saying, have people to come in the room. She said one day there was some people in the room with me, you know. And so it was an older guy.
Who did she ask to get her the room? Who did she say she asked somebody to get her the room?
That older guy, she never told me the dude's name. He older, though, because I heard him through my wall talking to her on the phone.
Yeah,
do you know his name?
Yeah, I think I know. I don't know exactly, but I know she was being, she had gotten kicked out and come back to our shelter. And yes, the shelter name was Covenant House of Georgia. And she had come back to the shelter, right? And then she was staying there. And during the period, she was like kicked out of the shelter. She was just on the streets and stuff. And then she said some guy had drove up to her in a car and was like, what's up? You need a place to stay and all of that and, like, rest. And she was like, yeah. And she said this guy's name was, like, Isaiah, something like that. And he was, like, 40-something, late 30s, early 40s years old. And I was like, what? And so she was like, yeah. And the thing was, she had come back to the shelter bragging about it and all that. I was like, what? And then everybody, it was, like, it was crazy. So, yeah.
I want us to focus on focus on the story, and also because there's so much that's going on, mm-hmm. the scenario with your adoptive parents, and I really want to talk about that, and I want to bring it into, because the question is to, I'm sure, and we'll talk about this in a second, is how they even ended up in the system and how there needs to be something held accountable, or some people need to be held accountable for the things that took place while they were in the custody of the adoptive parents. Mm-hmm. So right now, Jayton is there, and we mm-hmm. understand that Ramaya is missing, and that
yeah.
it's said that she has she was lured and with some threatening words, and we God only knows what the guy told her he would do to her or anybody if she didn't return and come back like how she was supposed to, quote unquote, to him. Brenda, you told me about you overheard a conversation and this guy
yes.
yelling and
yes,
screaming.
I did. I had heard the conversation.
Tell me about that night at 3.
Okay, so mm-hmm. We came from shopping early that day. You know, she was shopping and everything, so whatever. Okay, so later on that night, I was in the bathroom, and she was on the phone. She was still like 3-something in the morning. And after, you know, go to the bathroom or whatever, and I sat there. I know Ramaya still ain't woke. And I heard the dude was like, did you hear what the F.I. said? Get your A back down here right now. You took care of your business or whatever. Get your A down here. So it's kind of like shocked me. And I'm just sitting there just listening. She said, okay, I will. And he was kept telling her, and I'm not playing. So the next morning, I said, Ramaya, who was that talking to you like that on the phone? Because I said, who was that? I said, because he got me talking. I said, who was that guy? I said, and he older. She was like, it wasn't this, it wasn't that. It was just you two. I was playing on you. I said, no, you wasn't. You weren't playing on you two. Don't ever lie to me. You always tell the truth, no matter if you think it hurts you or not, but tell the truth. So she mm-hmm. was like, well, I got an older friend. I said, but he talks to you. Don't nobody supposed to talk to you like that. She said, I know, but he ready for me to come home. I said, just go home. And then that was done with that. And that's how she ended up leaving again. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know what did he tell her before I walked into the bathroom. I don't know what all he told her. I know I heard that.
She is dealing with a mental disability, as we can see.
Yeah.
And this year, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, she's a little bit behind, you know, well, a lot more than Robert is, you know, anyway. So I don't know if that's the case, that she was scared and she feel like,
he'll
give me money. I have money. You know what I'm saying? And then he'll bring his friends. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if it's
and
that.
She doesn't. Okay. I can say she doesn't understand it like how we may understand it to be. When Marcus asked her in the interview about what do you think that one of the questions he was asking was, how did she feel about being dropped off? And she went through periods in that conversation of trying to justify their actions and saying, I don't know, mm-hmm. according to the blog, this is what, you know, I can probably find a job. I can do this. She was trying to make sense of what that was. She didn't understand that. Right. And her not understanding that, her idea of friendship, idea of association has been convoluted as a result of the abuse and things that she went through while she was in care of her adoptive parents. And on that note, I want to say this. Aquanda, Aquanda, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. You have known the family. You've known Brenda for some years. And you know how she's longed for her children. Did you get an opportunity? And this has been amazing. First of all, what's your feedback on this whole experience here? Because I know being like her best friend, sister type thing, this is hitting home for you.
It's a lot to unpack. It's very detrimental. And it was hard really finding out that the adoptive parents, when they turn 18, Atlanta, would know where to go. I mean, it's heartbreaking. And then just knowing Brenda, my friend, best friend, just to know what all she went through over the years, emotionally, dealing with this entire situation. So, I mean, it is a lot to unpack, and it's really upsetting, to say the least. But that's really all that I have to say.
But now that they're back.
Now that they're back.
Well, they're at least they have been, they've reached their mom. We've got to get Jemiah home, but back home, but they're, you know, you're getting closer, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got Robert / Jaden, as we know him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good part about the entire situation. However, there's that other portion of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is difficult.
Yeah. Because they haven't taken, it's unfortunate because they've been with these adoptive parents who did not get them help and also abuse them. So things have not been identified. They've suffered so much at the hands of these people. Brenda, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, because for them, I said he said, Mom, don't you know we never had a birthday party? I said, yes, y'all did, ever since y'all was one until y'all turned four. I said, you'll have your cake. And Jemiah had her cake every year. She said, well, don't you know they dropped us off on our birthday? I said, for real? I said, so y'all never had a birthday party?
Yeah, we never.
I said, oh, my God. I mean, that is very, very strange.
Yeah, because, like, when we were, like, from the time that we were, like, in, you know, DCFS and, like, all the way up till we were, like, 18, we never really celebrated Christmas, like, any holidays mostly. And, like, it was very few that we really celebrated. And we never had a birthday party. That was that. And, like, other than that, we never really watched TV. The only thing we watched on TV was, like, you know, music. And that was just because they just told us to think about, like, when we would get kicked out at 18, what we're going to do. So, like, we knew from, like, the age of, like, 9 we were going to get kicked out because that's what they always told us. And I was like, okay. And then, like, you know, that was that.
Was it due to religion? Reason?
Yeah, I was going to say, were they Jehovah's Witness?
Nah. So, like, my adopted mother, she was a deaconess, I believe, in a church. And then I don't know about my adopted father. I just knew he worked. But they were religious. That's what they said. They were religious. Because, like, my adopted grandmother, she was an overseer at a church. And so, like, yeah, they said they grew up in the church and all of that. And then majority of what they told us was that me and Jemiah, we were evil and we were demons and all of that. And so, like,
that's
yeah.
You know, and how dare or not to view you guys and torture y'all ever since y'all was 9 and telling y'all that y'all will be kicked out when y'all turn 18 on y'all birthday. How rude is that? I just can't believe them people did them kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
Here's another thing I just want to add to that. Here's the situation. So they were in the hands of adoptive parents that were negligent, that the system placed them in, that dropped them off in Atlanta on their 18th birthday. That's heartbreaking to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's torture. And with considering all of the mental and emotional and verbal abuse that they suffered at their hands all of that time, they were already mentally broken and were not handed the resources and tools to survive.
Yeah. Another thing about ever since they was 9 years, you got to count them years down when you go get kicked out. So my kids have to count them years on when they know they're finna get ready to go. They don't have no one or nobody to help them.
And that's torture. And the thing was, the main thing that I wanted to say was, like, they're like, yeah, you're gonna get kicked out. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I was like, all right, then I'll try to find some work before I do. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, they were like, yeah, no, you're not allowed to get a job or nothing or none of that. And then, because she's like, we don't want your name associated with this house. And I was like, okay, so then, like, we didn't go out with, like, a bunch of money. The first time we went to Atlanta was the first time we ever had a job. And then I got my first job, which was UPS, which is a really good job. I got that in Atlanta, and that was my first ever job. They left us at the shelter with $200 each. That's it. And then, like, they just left. They were like, happy birthday, hope you succeed in life. My prayers go out to you from God. And then they just drove off. And then we have to sit at the curb, wait till the shelter door open. And this lady, which soon would become my case manager, came out, and she was like, hey. And then, yeah, she introduced into the shelter and all of that. And then, yeah. And that was
That's something. And Aquanda, what we have been talking about was like this whole situation of them being caught up in a system that was supposed to protect them, going south, definitely not protecting them, ultimately putting them in the hands of abusers and people who really didn't care. I like to say, like how Jemiah said in her interview, she said, if you didn't, you know, you wanted us, and she called it child support, but, you know, she didn't know. She just said, if you wanted us for the child support, you know, and you throw us out at 18.
I think it was SSI.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No. Okay, go ahead. I thought Aquanda was trying to say something.
Oh, no, that was me. This is Brenda. I think they were good because when I took her to the doctor, to get her checked out, that was April the 14th, if I'm not mistaken. They picked that April the 14th.
Sure.
I took her to the doctor to get her checked out and everything. And I went to the window with her, and they said she had Medicaid. I know Medicaid is only for people who got SSI. So I think they both was getting
it. Yeah, because, like, for me, I didn't, like, my eyes started going bad when I was, like, in second grade. And so, like, yeah, that was, like, I don't know how old I was, but, like, I got in trouble for that, too, because it's like, they were like, you joke about your eyesight and stuff, and I would get looked for that. So, like, every eye test I would have, they would be like, you're playing around, you see perfectly. So I didn't get my glasses until, like, I was, like, I didn't get my glasses till sixth grade. That was the first time I ever wore glasses. But, yeah, that was that.
Wow.
But, see, I got my glasses in sixth grade, and then we both had eyes. And on top of that, they were getting child support and all of that to take care of us, because that was from, like, once we were in the system to adoption until the age 18. I don't know the amount, but majority of it is, like, I don't know the amount of the check. I think it was, like, $5,000.
Yeah,
that's... But, like, it was a pretty good chunk of
Well,
change,
we don't, yeah.
Like, they were, like, always go on trips or something like that. And then, like, they would always go out on the weekends or something like that and just party or go to concerts or something like that. And then I was like, okay, cool. And then majority of the time. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to rant.
I'm just going to say, because we know that just, In summary of that you went through a lot. You went through a lot, and unfortunately, I'm sorry that you did. This is right now today. I was going to ask Brenda going up to this situation, I think it's very clear that she's been taken advantage of by Guy, who she assumes to be like a friend to her. And it is quite apparent to me, and I think many others, that she's not very clear-minded in this situation with all of the things that have happened to her, for her to decipher that, like, this is good, this is not good, okay?
Yeah.
And she's gone. But another thing is, we don't really know if she made it back to Atlanta because you aren't able to reach her, am I right? Her phones are no longer operable.
You're right. So I don't have no contact.
Her phones are not operable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so.
And it's not been operable since she left. What, April 8th? You said April
18th. No, I haven't.
Did she leave?
I haven't reached. Excuse me. I said, yeah, I haven't talked to her since she left. You know, I'm not worried about that. I don't know who this guy is, but he don't mean her no, absolutely no good. I know she probably ain't gave me the call out. She can't call out because she when she went to the doctor, she gave them my name, and she knew my phone number by heart. She know my phone number. So I don't know if she's not allowed to call or whatever. I don't know how it goes.
And all I wanted to say was, because I repeatedly tried to call her phone number and Facebook. So Facebook's not working. Her two numbers that I have for two phones, the first one, that just says the text now subscriber isn't active anymore. So that number is unoperational. And her second number, which always did work, her number that always did work was it took me to an airport. So, like, I don't know how that works. It was, like, her number changed, and now, like, the number that I called her with, it automatically takes me to an airport. It's, like, if you want domestic flights or international flights.
But it's probably a throwaway phone, too, you know.
Oh, so now it's giving a message of airport and air flight.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's probably a throwaway phone, you know. They know how to do all that stuff. You know, not just worry, just hope to God that we can find her, before anything happens. You know what I mean?
That's why we're doing this. And this is, now I do want to ask, when she left, okay, you heard her have that conversation. How long after you overheard her talking to this gentleman did she leave? Because you said she left around like the 17th, 18th of April.
She left the next day.
Okay, so you heard him talk, and the next day she was gone. Okay, so then you have not been able to reach her since, so we're not even sure if she made it back to Atlanta, and you assume that she was hitchhiking, or how do you know she was hitchhiking?
I guess they hitchhiked all the way to Chicago from here. So one of the sheriffs in Chicago, they called my phone, and they was like, do you know Jemiah? I said, yes. I said, yeah, she gave her your number. They have my number. So they said, we're going to the sheriff.
And
who
was that?
So the sheriff of Chicago.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had his type from Waukegan to Chicago. And so the sheriff called me, asked me, do I have anyone? Because they said she seems kind of delayed. Do I have anyone to come pick her up? So I called my cousin. She stayed down the street from that, you know, to get her. So she called to the sheriff also. The sheriff took up in there. You know, they went to Northwestern Hospital in Chicago. So the sheriff was getting her checked out. And she ended up sneaking out from the sheriff. And left.
Oh,
I don't know
gosh.
If he told her that I have a ticket waiting on you or whatever. But she even the sheriff didn't see her leave.
So she left from there. And now we don't know what happened. And now you can no longer reach her. So this is very sad. I just wanted to take a little station break very quickly. We're having a conversation with the family and of Jemiah Brecher. Well, I'll say Ramiah Nichols, also known as Jemiah Brecher, as we know her, and we're talking to her brother, Jaden, also known as Robert Nichols, and Brenda Nichols, the mom. Hello, Brenda.
Hello.
And we also have Aquanda Thomas, which is a very close family friend, Brenda's best friend. Aquanda, are you?
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so we're having a conversation. We're bringing out some points today about this, and some things are getting cleared up. Right now, in summary, there has been abuse. There has been some specific abuse that has been spread around over the internet, and that people have heard about, that Jaden, that you've gone through, and also it's quite apparent the mental, emotional, and verbal abuse that also your sister Jemiah went through. Now, someone said that there was situations of rape, that Jemiah had been raped. So I'm going to ask you, Brenda, were there discussions that took place for the 2 weeks that you had your baby girl? Were there some conversations that you had with her? Yeah.
Yes, we talked about it. She said, Mom, we sat at the kitchen table. She said, Mom, I said, now what's going on over there when you out there with the people, you know, the foster people? She said, well, they used to tie me down. If I be bad, that's what I get. I have to get tied up and I have to get pinned down. And death was my punishment. She said, and one guy used to pay for us, which I didn't, she probably couldn't quite explain it. She said, but one guy used to pay for her and Jaden, and sometimes just her. I said, like what? She said, they give the foster parents some money for us and for me. I said, I didn't get that because, you know,
the foster parents for her?
Yeah, the foster parents was accepting money from a guy for her. So I said, I don't know, I'm going to talk to Jaden. But when I talked to Jaden, he said, yeah, she used to get tied up and everything and all that. He said, I see it. He said that happened to him also. But hold on, I'm going to give you back to Jaden.
Yeah, because that happened to me too. Because that was like since we were in early childhood to like we were like 12, 13 years old, that happened. And then it was just like it was being tied down, being beat, forced to like, I mean, the main thing that we were forced to do is like read the Bible because they kept saying we were evil and all of that. And I was like, okay, cool. And then like they would tell us to scream and yell to read the Bible. And if we didn't yell loud enough, then we'd get beat. If we read too low, then we'd get beat. Sometimes they would tell us to bring the volume down. And then we were like, okay. And then we have to keep doing it. And then if we didn't do it low enough, they would beat us. If we didn't do it like loud enough, they would beat us. And then we have to do that for like the entire day. And sometimes I would like lose my voice because I was very talkative kid at school. Like,
I'm going to tell you one thing. That is so, it sounds like I'm watching the movie Carrie or something. Like, this is very, it's just not, it's unbelievable. So did any of you ever hear any conversation of actual rape? Did she confide in you, mother, that she was raped over there? And just to Jaden, to you, has she ever said she was raped?
Oh, sorry. Okay, not at the adoptive parents' house in Georgia. That was in like Atlanta. That was the first time.
Oh, okay. So that was this older guy and that affiliation, and her going to the hotel and men coming in there on her.
Yeah, because she had.
So she didn't understand that's prostitution. Yeah. She doesn't understand. That's what that is.
Because she had come up to me, she was crying, and she was scared and stuff. And I was like, what? And so my friends, as a sister, it was like, Jaden, we have a problem. I was like, all right, yeah. Because, you know, they joked, and I was like, man, forget it. And it was like, it was about the sister. I was like, okay, what? He was like, just come on. I was like, okay. So then I went to the park because there was a park across the street, a park, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, she had just told me she was being raped and stuff. And I knew the people that was there, but that was like, I didn't know if that was just like a joke or something, because they joked about dumb stuff, like really messed up stuff, and I didn't know if that was for real. But I knew that the one instance of rape that actually happened was when she went with the 40-year-old guy, because she had told me that they had invited her to their apartments and stuff, and she just wanted to watch TV or like hang out because they just invited her over there. And then she started, like, she was just there, and then they started touching on her and stuff, and then one guy, he just kept going, and she said, stop, and then he didn't stop, and I was like, what? And so I was like, seriously, she said, stop, right? And I asked her who it was, but she wouldn't tell me. And then I was just like, she was just like, yeah, it was just some guy, and I was like, what? And so I was like, is it the same guy that, you know, you went with before? And she was like, well, yeah, and I was like, okay. So then, no, she just confided in me. And then there was an instance where she might have been pregnant, because she had come back to the park one night. No, she still kicked out of the shelter. She was like, might be pregnant and stuff. I was like, what? And she didn't have nowhere to go, so she was just sleeping in the park. I brought her some blankets, brought her some food and stuff. And then I
was sad. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It's sad. But we just pray that she makes it back home and everything.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, yes.
That's, to say the least, that is heart-wrenching. So that's what I heard, and I had been reading that there was those conversations. So it seems as though she's in a trafficking situation, unfortunately. That's what this. This sounds like a trafficking situation, and this person is very mean and evil. And like I said, I'm sure threats went along with him coercing her back and luring her back to Georgia, and hopefully.
Yeah.
She has made it there. So this is important for us to get it everywhere. And it's important, like we say. Now, I want to, because it's going to be some recording that's going to go after this, because it's going to probably, like, stop, but it's still going to be recording. It's just not going to be live. What I want to move forward with, because this is having some accountability. Now, in your, Aquanda, we talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't, there's no, okay. I don't know where the people, didn't you say the people have fled from their homes, the adoptive parents are no longer there, and they're not reachable,
yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Aquanda, I was asked, okay.
Well, I was told, I'm not absolutely sure. Maybe Brenda knows.
Okay. Okay, Brenda, do you know?
Yeah, the lady, Miss Phillips, she said she's coming down here, and she said, but you know, they didn't sell their house, and they moved. They don't stay no longer up here anymore. And I said, okay, I said, but well, FBI get involved, and they'll find her. You know, you can't run away from this.
Yeah.
This was like 3 weeks ago. She called me. And she told me who she
and
was.
And who is this? Who is Miss Phillips? Who is Miss Phillips?
Phillip, her name is Phillip. Who is she to you?
She was just somebody who reached out to me while I was in Georgia. So, like, helped me out. She sent me $200, and like, she was just helping me out. You know, she's an evangelist at a church, and she was just hoping that me and my sister were okay. At that time, I think Ramaya, she was in Chicago, I think, when she called me. So, yeah, she was down here.
Oh,
like,
so how does, so, yeah. Okay, so she does, but she was in Atlanta, but she assumed that they are gone from the house that they live in. That would be up for the judge, for the people.
So is this evangelist affiliated with your adoptive parents?
Right.
Wait, what'd you say?
Is she if, go ahead, Akronda.
It's the evangelist affiliated with your adoptive parents, and she found out that you were in Atlanta, and she was trying to help out. Is that?
I think so, because then she was just like, she just told me that, you know, those people had moved, right? And I was like, what? And then, like, they had sold their house and stuff. And then I was like, oh. And then Marcus had come up to me and told me, you know, the interviewer from Atlanta Street Interview, he told me they had moved. And I was like, oh. And then I was like, okay. Because, yeah, that's that. That's that.
That's weird.
Yeah, so then. I
that's really weird.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. I said, no, that's really weird.
So I guess they was trying to flee or whatever and leave, because when we went to Lake Villa and do a police report, they immediately knew exactly who they was. You know, not because they've been in trouble, because they know them. You know what I'm saying? So, and they immediately got on the phone. I don't know if they was calling them, but I really believe, because some kind of way they got a hold to the YouTube thing and told Jalen was that you or Ramayi, take that down. When they was discussing her, they told them to take it down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So what happened was, I had called them.
Wait, okay. Let's slow up here. I think I missed them.
Sorry.
Yeah, slow down for a minute. Hold on. No, you are okay. No. I just want to make sure I get everything in that, you know, that we're being very clear, because some stuff just went running on. I want to find out here, because we talked yesterday, and I think you were going to do the missing persons report. So have you done that already?
No. I plan on doing that already. I don't know if there's one in Atlanta yet. But like,
No.
There's one down in Chicago already. Hello?
Okay, so who did a did you, mother, do a missing persons
report? No, I didn't. I don't know if I do it from my house, or do I go to Chicago, because that was the last place she was at. When she left,
you would just do it from your house. It's your house. That's your daughter. You would just do it.
Okay.
Let's just do it. It's like they could come out to your house. I know they do that.
Yeah, I know.
They could just come out to your house and you could just tell them you're doing the missing report and give it to them, because at the end of the day, wherever she went
after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to let them take a picture of the paperwork that she was here.
That's right. You give them everything that they need, and you go for it, and you just take care of it like that. You don't have to do anything extra, because that's your daughter, and you were there with your daughter at the time. So it's fine.
Yes.
It's fine. So you're going to take care of that today?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because they can just come out. I call 911 and have them there and get that right away. And from you, and that's important, coming from you, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, that's very important. So
yeah,
we want to get that done. And matter of fact, because it's going to be, when I go live, I want to be able to say that.
Show is truly amazing. Listening to Purpose Development Show, after for a moment, because I want you to know it was actually done. It was done. Is the available? Can get it. I took a picture of the card. Well, they took a picture of the card. And the information you can actually see online. Some callers in, and I want to give someone an opportunity, because I'm telling you, if someone has to share information, Jamaya, we want to know.
Caller, I'm going to just do the last two numbers, 71. If you would like to, please, one, and that lets me know that you want to come in, and that's for everyone that's in the queue. So if you, I see that you're listening, but if you want to chime in, please click the number one on your phone and then I can bring you to, so just to summarize where we have been. Crying outside. Joke. Iced. What a joke. Scratcher. Sure. Access to her family. Regardless of what seems to be free will. Circumstances. This is not that. Be disabled. Jamiya has been taken advantage of as a result of that. Jamiya has been victimized, manipulated, raped, scared. To make sense of this, as we are trying to make sense of what has taken place in Jamiya's life. Therefore, imperative. It is really imperative. As on the prowl. How they say that? To pay attention to wherever we are, because we're not even quite sure if Jamiya made it, Atlanta, because she left. She felt the urgency because this, Brenda says, about 40 years old, her out and screaming at her on the phone, telling her that she had better get her ass back. That's what he said to her. Out there. So what we're doing, and yes, she has filed the missing report. You can see even in the promo, recording was done. She went and she did that and she took care of that. And I'm telling you, I need everybody to pay attention. What we're going to do, back to the interview, a conversation, because that's what we're really having. We're just having a conversation and we are wanting to build awareness because, as you know her, after this here, oh, that we're live.
Welcome to the Moment of Inspiration. I'm Dr. Princess Adelia. Do you think that you will ever, or should I say, never, turn your life around? Have you thought that there is literally no way, in spite of all your efforts, that you will ever live totally happy and fulfilled? I want you to know that it is so. You are the creator of your future, and it is up to you to align your thoughts, visions, and words with what you will to be. Sounds easier said than done, I know. Well, it's not. It is simply that. Here's what I want you to do. Number one, create the idea of what you desire to be, your physical reality in your mind. This is your vision. Remember the picture that you paint and never lose sight. Number two, the thoughts that will come to your mind will be a combination of what you've been programmed to think and believe as your life's possibility, and the thought of the vision that you created, which is your only truth. So don't allow yourself to meditate on anything but what is your truth. As you are spirit, you are to realize the power in this and pray in this realization as spirit and truth. Wow, isn't that awesome? When the thought contrary to the truth of you, which is abundant, powerful, courageous, wise, prosperous, creator, phenomenon, beautiful, just to give you an idea, and I must say love is all you too, Cancel that thought that is contrary and go back to your vision created. Number three, I want you to watch your mouth. Your words are sharper than any two-edged sword. Scientists say that when you speak words that align with your vision and its thoughts, your results are increased at least 80%. Speak I am, that I am, and so it is. Affirm this daily. I persist regardless of appearances or conditions. The spoken word in my life is so powerful that it changes conditions to conform to the words I've spoken. And so it is for me now. Well, thanks for listening to the Moment of Inspiration. I'm Dr. Princess Adelia, author of the book series, Pregnant in the Spirit, How to Birth Your Life's True Purpose, A Life of Total Fulfillment, and your True Purpose Life Coach. Don't forget to visit me online for more inspiration at bountifulgroup.com. That's bountifulgroup.com. Also, purchase your book series today of Pregnant in the Spirit at Borders, Barnes & Noble, or Amazon. Create a fabulous day, and until next time, thanks for listening.
Welcome back. All right. Our go into the second. Interview in just a moment here, but I wanted to take a moment before we get back to that part. I wanted to address a few things that are some comments that have been going on in that are of great concern to all of you, because many have invested, many have. Jemiah is now household name, as we are in concern with her. We are searching for her. We have made comments about Shin. Conversation with her brother. In the interview, you will hear that yes, with her school. That when you have people that are commenting and they're wanting to know, well, this doesn't make sense and that doesn't make sense, I really need to stay focused. Focused. Mentally. By her brother. Her brother is all she's really had. Her brother, Jayton, he dumb, smart. And if you hear interview, you can tell that Jemiah is smart, not have access to many things or may not understand some things, and that's okay. But what I want is for people to stop with the different comments on whoever's network we're on. Sharing Jemiah, because there's so many people sharing the story of Jemiah. You know, creator of the interview that took place with Atlanta Street Interviews, sharing information there, and they're talking, but I really need us to stay focused. And while you're talking and running the chops, let's get printed. I shared this earlier in the show. Go at FedEx.com. If you don't have a printer, don't worry about it. FedEx has you covered. Finally. Go at FedEx.com and find what you're looking for. Go there, get it printed, speak to the attendant at the front desk. They will help you. Picture of Jemiah and post that on the trees in your area. Missing. Trees. Go out and post that on your Facebook. Hashtag Save Jemiah. Jemiah, it is like a duck, and it quacks like a duck. It is a duck, all right? Okay, 2 + 2 = 4, okay? So, that she has been experiencing the testimony of her brother talking about and coerced, manipulated. To the thing to me, pimping to me, Asian, yes. Asian about and to be her friend. Her money. Give her money. Just $20, guys. I'm talking like $4,000. Money. Taking advantage of her. Scared. She was scared when she left. She was scared. So let's not conversation of Jemiah left at her own free will. I don't know what I'm going to do if I see another post of that. My post, if I see it where people are spreading this rumor, which that causes for people to pause, and they're not interested in helping anymore because now they have have raised this concern that she's doing this and she's another hard-headed 18-year-old. Yes, I get it. 18-year-olds got a thing. I mean, you know, hey, we all know. They'll grow up one day, maybe when they're 25, close to 30 sometimes, you know. But at 18, they're doing whatever they want to do that we did not teach them to do. Let's not focus on the fact that type of scenario for us to look at the entire piece of the pie. Look at the entire piece of the pie. We have to consider all things. Consider that she has been abused. She has been sit or even hitting the streets. Situation where she was not dealing with disability. If she wasn't disabled, had been treated the way that she's been treated all this time. Darn. Fucking, if they put you on the street today, you wouldn't be able to handle it. Okay. Absolutely not. You end up in a straitjacket. But to handle it. So let's understand, if this was one of our children, child was mentally disabled, into a situation of rape and being taken advantage of and people using her, and she's running scared. More, she's already had people not understanding her. She's already been through that. That needs to take place now is the energy of Jemiah needs to come home. Jemiah needs to come home. So I need, as encouraged to, her home. We're going to vision her safe. She's going to tell her story. It over. And to tell her story of how. Couldn't make it, and she did. She's going to tell her story, and she's going to be able to articulate, because she's very articulate. Tell that story. So many others. Shut our mouths and stop judging things and focus on the lecture at hand. Who sings that? Back to the lecture at hand. Joke. Someone who was in a situation, and Georgia, the sex trafficking, and let's stop closing our eyes to this. Remember what I said, printandgo.com if you don't have a printer, and send it over there, make it a black and white, I think it's 10 cents a copy. A few copies, you can decide how many you're going to make when you get there. Get a donation for it and go make a copy and put some pictures, because like I said, we don't know where she is exactly. Anybody wants to say a word? To the interview. Listening, I'm your host, Dr. Princess Adelia.
They sold them kids. You know what I'm saying? And that's something I could figure out. Because the lady had
twins. It sounds like that. So with all of it that took place, that was, she lost her housing because of course she you know, so she lost all of that. So now she gets out, she doesn't have anything. And then she has a laundry list of things that they want her to do.
That are impossible to fulfill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how that happens.
Wow. So from the beginning, a mother making her dinner at night for her children.
Yes.
Some gumbo and getting things up, mm-hmm. and one of the older children stove and do something and accidentally makes a spill.
It's totally different. I was outside, did not have a clue, because they bathed and all the other kids ate. You know what I'm saying? Everybody was laying down. Everybody was asleep. And I had my music, my speaker in the window, because now it's my time. You know what I'm saying? To sit out.
That's
stuff.
Right.
You
oh,
know,
yeah.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had my speaker on. I did not know that the lovers was going on. So I looked back. I seen some smoke. And I heard some screams. That's how I knew, because I knew everybody was in the bed. And they still ended up charging me with it, because they said she was a minor. They got to charge somebody. That's how that situation happened.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, and I'm sorry to hear that as a result, they put them with a family and did not follow up on that family to
That's
ensure
what I
that there was. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Wait. This is Robert talking again. Oh, well, Jaden.
Nah, say Robert. I'm going to change my name regardless. But, yeah, so what DCFS did was they would like, have meetings with us. But, see, the difference was, like, those meetings were, like, short, like 15 minutes. But, see, during that period of time, it's, like, they would elongate. The last meeting I had was when I was, like, 7. But the reason why I say they would, like, follow up was our adopted parents would force us to say nice things or laugh or do something like that. Like, they would tell us to do specific actions and all of that stuff while we were there. And if we didn't, we'd get in trouble or, like, get beat or something like that, which was just ridiculous. And then, like, yeah. So I guess, like, we were supposed to put on a show for them to pretend like we liked it. And if we didn't, then, like, it would be, like, you know, wrapped tenfold or something like that. We'd get, like, seriously hurt. So, like, yeah.
Wow. So you'd be in trouble if you didn't do that. Aquanda,
yeah.
this is sad. And Aquanda, you've had some jobs and things with the state, and
mm-hmm.
what's your feedback on this? Like, what do you think can happen?
I think that it's a broken system. I think that although that they are over the age of 18, there still should be some accountability on DCFS along with those adoptive parents, because there's no way that an 18-year-old is equipped to be dropped off, for 18-year-olds are equipped to be dropped off in Atlanta, Georgia, with $200 each. So there mm-hmm. needs to be accountability with
mm-hmm.
DCFS,
mm-hmm.
which is the state of Illinois, and also with the adoptive parents.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it should be that it was DCFS's responsibility, along with to oversee the adoptive parents the entire time that they were in their care.
Right.
And that should be
mm-hmm.
it, but apparently not. And but just like Robert has just said, Robert, for those of you who are just listening, Robert is Jaden's birth name. And Robert has just said that they had them to perform, to act a certain way when it was time for the interviewing process, and why not did exactly what they were told to do. How likely do you think something can happen, Aquanda, like in the system in your area in Illinois? You know, like, you know, coming out with something like that, you know, really sufficient.
It's been on the news how DCFS, how there has been cases where they failed. There also have been cases where children have died in the hands of the adoptive parents, and then it's always a failure on DCFS. Now, as far as what happens after that, I'm not really sure, but for this situation, there needs to be some accountability.
Mm-hmm.
It's their failure.
Oh, yeah.
To protect them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, negligence and everything, and it seems like
what it seems like is that our Jamaya is caught up in a triangle of affairs by this guy.
Yes.
If she has made it back, Georgia.
Yes.
that she fits the profile scenario based on the information of a trafficking situation and scenario.
And this is another question that this is just another thing. The adoptive parents, first of all, neither one would have been in this situation had not the adoptive parents took them to Atlanta.
That's right.
If
that's right.
If they were going to take them all as far as to Atlanta, why not give them back to their biological parents to ensure that they were safe? Why drive them 900 miles away and drop them off at a shelter? Like, that part, it's just, I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Why not even if it wasn't a biological parent, why not find a family member of their real family, you know, and connect them with them?
Well, that happens when somebody cares. They're missing a
because they were out in Atlanta for approximately 8 months. Whether it was in a shelter or not, they were still considered homeless.
Yeah, to suffer at the hands of strangers, and considering where they were mentally, emotionally.
And Atlanta is very bad. You know, I'm not going to say that it's the safest place in the U.S.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that it is. But to drop a 17-year-old or 18-year-old that just turned 18 on their birthday, is not even possibly equipped to be able to survive on the street or even know what to do in a situation like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there has to be something, and this interview here, as we put this out, hopefully they're really going to have to do something. We're going to get that missing persons report done. Brenda, Miss Nichols, and there needs to be, we have to consider next steps, you know, is there a petition, like how do we do this, because first of all, she has not surfaced, and there's no way for us to reach her, and that's serious, like we can't reach her, her phones don't work, they've shut down all of access to her.
Yes.
So the best thing that we have is to everyone to put her face everywhere. There's pictures online. Put the pictures up.
Amen.
Make a snapshot of it. Them on the trees and say, you know, join the effort with us and the movement that we're going to help Jamaya. Help save Jamaya. Hashtag help save Jamaya.
Because
Jamaya is missing.
Help save Jamaya.
This is not a joke. This is, she is missing at the hands of a pimp, potentially trafficking her. She has been, like, she has cried about this person. She has expressed her pain. So we have to do something to help save her. It is not just as simple as, oh, she willingly went back with this person. No, she was threatened. She was coerced. She was coerced into the situation, and she has been frightened into this situation, and she doesn't, literally doesn't, know any better. So, as I stated on my video, scream, holler, call the 911, make some noise, and guess what? Let's call to justice the system.
Yes.
Because they need to be involved in this.
Yes.
They also need to help find Jamaya.
Yes.
Because they are the ones who made the choice for her parents, and they did not dig deeper. You know, I think about you, Miss Nichols. You didn't have a choice, did you? You were outside, thought the kids were sleeping.
Yes.
Next thing you know, you got your movie, you're doing you. Most parents do that. Kids go down, it's time to do me, especially you consider them in the bed. But they didn't give you an option, did they? They didn't waste any time to take your children, all of your children, after you just made gumbo and had dinner and serving for the children, doing your thing. They didn't waste any time to uproot your life. So guess what? This year, they have to take responsibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I want to go around the table. Miss Brenda Nichols, my heart goes out to you.
Thank you.
This is just not a joke. But I believe that there needs to be a unified effort in bringing justice to this situation, as well as bringing Jamiya home. I don't know if people know of places where sex traffickers go. Jayden, we will have to get information and to let us know, like, what hotel was it that they took her to. We'll get that off the air. We want to find out what hotel was it, because she know where she went. She probably told you. Or what vicinity it was. You tell me if you have any landmarks and whatever it is, and then we can kind of direct the cops that way. So, it's Brenda Nichols. We'll start with you.
Yes.
What final words would you like to say to our audience?
I want to say, could y'all please help me find my daughter? No matter what DSS did, they're not going to break me. I have God in my heart. I just want Jamiya to come home and come home safe. May God bless her. I just want everybody come together and pull together, world, to find my daughter. That's all I want. And she come home. She'll be okay once she get home. She'll be okay. She gets some therapy. If I got all that line, I just want her to come home to her family, to her other half, her brother. Her brother misses, like, he lost a little bit because he's so used to being with his sister. So if you guys can help me, please, to find my daughter, may God bless y'all in many, many more years. And I say thank you for helping me.
Yeah. Hey, please help me find my sister, because, for real, I miss her bugging me every day. That's what those sisters are for. I miss her laughing. You know, we just party a little, have some fun, play tag. You know, I help her out with some schoolwork. She told me to try to talk to girls. Still didn't work, but still, I kind of miss, you know, both of us, you know, just having some fun. Giving each other advice, you know, if y'all can, please help out, find my little sister.
And we are going to do that. We're going to plug this everywhere we can. We're going to make a reel out of this, one of those short stories out of this, with you and your mother asking, and friend, auntie, Aquanda, what would you like to say?
I just want to thank everyone for listening, and just to bring Jamiya home.
Yeah.
It's the first time that Jayden has been without his sister over this course of 8 months, you know. So, I mean, this is terrible. So just bring Jamiya home.
Yeah. But I want to say thank you, everybody, for being here on the show. And I want to say, everyone is listening, this is a real situation. This is not an at-will scenario, and I can't stress that enough. This is not at-will. This is due to circumstances she has gone. This is a situation that we need to call to justice. There needs to be some accountability with adoptive parents. To take accountability for the fact that Jamiya is even gone, that she's even in the situation of dealing with a pimp in Atlanta. That's not her fault. It's not her fault. That needs to, that's the responsibility of the adoptive parents, especially considering her condition and the scenario itself, any of us would have been lost at 18 years old in the big A. Come on now. So
yes.
Mm-hmm. Please print, go online, download a picture of Jemiah. Put it in your stores
okay.
if you own a store. Put it on the pictures. Put it on your Facebook and your Twitter. Put it everywhere that you can and post Jemiah's face and put on there. Hashtag help save Jemiah. This is serious, not a joke, okay? And time is of the essence. Don't just look in Atlanta. Look anywhere because we're not even sure if she made it there. All of her phones are disconnected. We have no way of reaching her. She cannot even be reached. And she was last seen in conversation with her mother, actually saw or heard a conversation with this pimp guy threatening her to get back to Atlanta. So we need to do something and act fast. Thank you all for being on the True Purpose Development Show. Sorry that we had to meet under these terms. And I believe the transformation, it is so. We're going to find Jemiah. I commission a vision.
Yes.
I put out a vision that Jemiah is safe. And the next interview we're doing one where she's talking about her experience in a light where she is helping others to transform their lives.
Amen.
That is a story of transformation. And that's the vision. The vision, I want you to see her on the, see her on CNN. See her on the TV. See her, hear her on the True Purpose Development Show. See her speaking about the help that she received and how she is now going to help other people. That's what we're seeing, envisioning for Jemiah. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, I thank you.
Well, I...
Wow. That does it, folks, for the interview. But I see that there are some of you that are in the studio and you have your hands up. I hope everyone can hear me well. I am congested, slept with the fan and the air conditioning on, and I'm a little hoarse. I've been quite hoarse for a few days. But I'm going to bring a caller in, the last four digits, 1314, my numbers. How may I help you? Thank you for calling the True Purpose Development Show. Who do I have here?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
This is, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, this is Sister Tiff.
I'm
We've
sorry?
We've been interacting on TikTok.
Well, hello, how are you? Thank you so much. You have been such just an amazing contribution to this effort of finding Jemiah. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you for spreading the word. How are you today?
I'm okay. I just wanted to call into the show to let them know that Wednesday or Thursday, me and a few other girls are going down to Atlanta, and we're going to put up pictures. I don't know
awesome.
If I've shared this, but I was once kind of in the life down there, and they recruit girls a lot of times. They find homeless girls, or they find girls who they think might have low self-esteem, and a lot of times they tell you that they're going to put you in movies, you're going to be a model. They're going to introduce you to rich guys, you know, just ride with them here, and then you end up like in a whole world full of stuff. A lot of times you might meet a guy and they pretend like they're going to be your friend or your boyfriend, and you end up doing favors for them. This is not something that is new. This has been going on since I was down there in 2002, and I got caught up in it. A lot of times they tell you to, like,
wow.
we're going to Florida to go party, and you end up going down there getting into a lot more than partying. And it's just a matter of who, it's just a matter of who you run into. And they and frequent themselves around Five Points in underground Atlanta because that's where everybody goes. When you
that's
have nowhere else to go
to
because the shelters are down there.
Yeah. The location was really important. I was trying to, I've been asking around, like, where there has to be a central spot that these people frequent. And
well, they
that
frequent,
is very
they frequent
good information.
Five Points, but a lot of times you end up in hotels in Gwinnett County. You end up in hotels in College Park near the airport, Decatur. A lot of times they'll take you out to Austell, like around Six Flags. And now doing like when it's baseball season now, I'm in touch with like some of the women that I used to know, and they were telling me, you know, they even have girls out in Cobb County, like near the stadium.
Oh, wow. And
you
can go on there in that area.
You can go on escort websites and see local girls posted all over, and you can see a common phone number because it's routed to like one person and they book the calls. And a lot of times that those pictures that they're posting are not the girls that you're actually going to meet when you go see them. They'll send you to somebody else. It's called baiting
and
switching.
So now, okay. So what are your thoughts on it? So are you thinking that this is a sex trafficking situation? And what is the difference between sex trafficking versus pimping? I mean, I think pimping is pimping and sex trafficking is sex trafficking, or a fancy name for pimping, someone being prostituted out. What is your idea of that?
Well, usually with pimps, they usually stay in the same area and they have a territory that they kind of, it's kind of like an unspoken rule. Like, this is my area, especially when they have girls walking out, like walking out into the streets doing car dates. With sex trafficking, there's like a whole entire ring, and there's a whole system of people that you report to. And they move you, they can move you from state to state. A lot of times you'll see girls say, "I'm my last night here," like in the ads. That really is probably their last night there, and they're being moved somewhere else where the money is. It's all based on what's going on, what event is going on. Spring break,
so
a lot of times
it's pimping,
they send
but it's on
down
a high
to
class
Miami.
Level.
No, it doesn't even have to be high class. That's the thing. Because there's people in all financial situations that use escorts. It depends on how good of a girl you are or where you're useful or where you're not useful. If you can only afford $70, you're only going to get a girl worth $70. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Absolutely. It's more when I say none of it's high class technically. But I'm saying it's like a business. They treat it like, but it's operation, like you
business.
Said. It's an it's a business. It's an operation, and the operation is sex. The operation is.
And they think that like they're shutting down rings, but they never really shut them down because there's always somebody else left behind that just starts a new one. And once you're in, it's really hard to get out. Like, you literally have to run and not be seen. You can't go, you cannot go anywhere where anyone knows you. And she might be in a situation where they have her where she doesn't know how to take the bus system. She might be, if she knows how to take the bus system, they've probably taken her out somewhere where it's not easy to take a bus.
So
I mean that
well,
is
we're
the
gonna
truth.
Have to, yeah, that's just so that's being real. And I literally don't know, like when I thought of sex trafficking, I thought of it as people trying to take people from another country or something and drugging them up to get them on the streets and or whatever. But to speak of it and reference it how you have referenced it, I didn't think of it like that. Like it's to me, now when you say it, it reminds me of high class gold girl operation on the road. It's like they're, like you said, going where it's hot, and they're taking you wherever they could take you, and they base you are as useful as you are.
I mean,
you get
sold. Sometimes you get sold. Like if you're not trainable with one. If you're not trainable with one, a pimp or madam, they can sell you to someone else. They can say, "Look, give me $3,000 for her." It's almost like slavery. Or
not,
I'll take her off
like
your hands. I'll take her off her hands if you take $500. Because, you know, I can make her into what I need her to be. And then a lot of times the pimps just want you for themselves. So you never see anybody but them. And you're stuck in a room 24/7, 365 until they're done with you. And if you're lucky, they're not keeping you high and drunk the entire time. And you don't get introduced to drugs. A lot of times you don't get introduced to drugs the way that you think that most people do, like it being an option. Sometimes you get strapped down to the bed and shot up with heroin. Sometimes they roll crack inside of a joint. You say you have a headache. Mm-hmm. You know, they give you these pills and they tell you it's Tylenol and it's really ecstasy. And then it's like off to the races from there. And that's why I'm so emotionally invested in this, because every day that goes by, she could be getting further and further away. And they have, I mean, they have no conscience at all. I mean, sometimes they even blindfold you so you can't find your way. Or they put you in the back of one of those white cargo vans.
Yeah.
You might think you're still in Georgia and you might be in Mississippi somewhere.
That's why what we've been saying is don't worry, like wherever, we don't know where she is because we have no way of contacting her. Someone's literally going to have to see her and, you know, they'll have to see her. We are going to get something because someone has brought, someone purchased some things in her name. And yes, we are aware that they purchased something in her name and a vehicle, in fact. And she doesn't have, we're going to get that the family is going to get that information so that they can bring it forth. But, and put that in the hands of the authorities as they need to have it in the hands of the authorities. So that's what the family's going to do. But yeah, I am so grateful for you and your contribution and how you've been on it. I thought I was just going to spread the word and just put a post out, and I have been just grabbed by my spirit has just not let me rest about it. I woke up one day and it was like I was coming out of a swimming pool. I had to take a breath and I'm like, wow. And the first thing I thought about was Jemiya. And I knew before I knew that she was missing, I said, something's not right. And I know that something wasn't right. So that's why this is so important to get on CNN and they need to go and bust down the doors of every, like those places that you said, Five Points, hotels in College Park. Your information is valid. It's very important. And for those of you who are listening online and you have not called in about a minute and 10, it's going to go, we can still be on if you're in the queue and you call in. So let me tell you how you call in, because you might not know how to call in. So the number, all right, yeah, 319-527-6234. That's 319-527-6234, because I do notice that some of you, quite a few of you are on the computer that way. So, and if you want to keep listening, that's the number that you need to call. I want to thank you for those of you who don't have time to go to transfer over. Thank you for calling the True Purpose Development Show. The number to call is 319-527-6234. And remember, hashtag help save Jamaya. So your information that you're giving is so imperative for any type of investigation and how people are going to help. You said that you're going to be going down. You're going to go down to Atlanta, and you have a group of people that are going down. When you said Wednesday and Thursday, or Wednesday or Thursday?
We're trying to figure out if it's going to be. I mean, we even have somebody that is coming down from Philadelphia. She's going to fly down from Philadelphia because this is important to her too. And everybody needs to be on that app, the Nextdoor app in their city, posting Jamaya's picture, hashtag and say Jamaya. All you have to do is go to the Play Store or the Apple Store, download Nextdoor, and a whole bunch of neighbors are there. A whole bunch of businesses are on there. Whenever there's crime or whatever in the neighborhood, or something going on, that app has it posted.
Yeah, I have that app actually next door. I have that on my phone. And you bring out a
I'm going to print out pictures. Someone is creating a flyer. I'm going to go print out pictures from Staples, like copies, and we're going to be hanging out, and we're going to be hanging them up, and we're going to try to, like, talk to people and find out, you know, have they seen her? We are going to frequent, like I do have some hotels that I know girls are still at, like I said, because I still know people that work in that life. And then I have access to, you know, a lot of those websites are still up that were up years ago. And you can kind of tell some of those hotels have not changed their bed spreads, which is very concerning, or even redone the inside of their rooms. So I'm not above going, you know, to those hotels and hanging up a flyer. But even if that, you know, somebody in there, and not even in Atlanta, anywhere, if you could just hang one up somewhere, you never know where she could be.
That's
Florida is like
exactly
a big place where
that
whole
trip
go.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Would you say that's a big place that the I guess they're the pimps that run the sex trafficking operation. Is that a place, would you say, that the pimps would most likely go, especially since it's close to Georgia and she was here, but she was coming from, where was she coming? She was coming from Chicago. She's coming out of Chicago.
They could take her to New Orleans, Miami, Pompano Beach, Tampa, places like that where it's warm and they're tourist cities, because there's a lot of money in those cities. Major cities, they like to frequent by airport. If there's like major events, like, you know, when the NBA does their finals and stuff, places like that, they would literally put you in a car and make you go. They need 20, they send 20. Wow. I mean, if you get paid more, you get to fly by plane. But if you're just, you know, not, then you have to ride And like I said, a lot of times it's in the back of a van, a cargo van. It's almost like you're being extradited somewhere.
If you heard,
I don't think, like I said, I don't think people are. People have no like, unless you've lived in that life or you've been a victim, I should say, or a survivor, you have no idea what you have to go through. And she's only 18, and she didn't even grow up like in Atlanta with those type of people. And she doesn't know.
Yeah.
You don't know, because I was adopted as well, and my adopted parents were abusive as well. You don't know. You don't remember being really, really little and your birth mom loving you. You don't remember that because all of the hate from your adopted parents, it kind of like makes you think, well, this is what love is supposed to feel like. This is what people do when they do care about me. And you really try to convince yourself that they do.
Wow.
I really want to find her and I'll do anything. Like I said, if I had the money, I'd be hiring a private investigator. You know, I have five of my own children at home, but I spend my free time looking for places that she could possibly be. And contacting people I really don't want to talk to, but I'm, you know, trying to find out, like, have you seen this person or that person?
Exactly.
Have you seen this girl? But we'll be out there this week, and I'm going to make it my mission to share. And, you know, sharing it, kindness is free. Reposting a video of Jemiah just to put it into the algorithm, I mean, that takes 30 seconds and it's free. And if it was your child, you would want someone to do that for you.
Absolutely. And it's important, you know, those, the areas that we've said, that people pay attention to that, in Georgia, the Five Points area, hotels, College Park, Estelle, even Cobb County, and that
Kennesaw over there,
travel,
off of Barrett Parkway, where the Days Inn is, all those areas. And the Days Inn is like $35 a night. It's like low budget. People don't think, but they're over there. They're over there.
Okay. I thank you so much. So much.
Well, I thank you. I thank you. You know, and I'm really fortunate. Like I have a learning disability myself, and I was just trying to find anybody. And when I saw your name, I was like, wait, I listened to her on Blog Talk before, and I just left a comment because I did not expect for you to message me back or say anything back. And I'm really glad that you did. There was another young lady that posted a video saying that she spoke to Jaden, and fortunately I reached out to her, and she gave me his info, and that's how I was able to share with you, because we needed somebody was just able to do something, because I just felt like nothing was moving for her.
Yeah.
But
and
thank you
a lot, you know,
for everything that you do.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. It takes a village, doesn't it?
It does.
And
yes.
A lot of times we don't know. I'll tell you something very positive about your circumstance. We don't know oftentimes why we go through certain things, but what we go through, it is important for us to know that it is an opportunity for us to help somebody else. Every single story that we have, regardless of whatever it is, how would you be able to help Jemiah right now if you had not gone through that? And although I wish I could take all of that away and say, man, you know, if I were the one to be that one to say,
oh, I'm so sorry that you went through that. Those people are such and such and such and such, and focus on that. I'm not that person. I'm that person to say to you, be grateful that you had the experience. You made it out. It was for a reason. You were broken for a purpose. You made it out. And now, right now, you're able to help Jamiya. You would be one of the most key people in a search and to a cop, to an authority. I'm going to send you my information offline in your DM, okay, so that you can reach out to me. Because they need some. You've been there, done that, and you are absolutely beautiful. I just want to say thank you so much, sweetie, and know that your ladder will be greater than your past and everything that you're doing now. I see a business. You're going to grow into a business. Are you trying to set up a nonprofit?
I want to, yes. I just don't even know where to start.
No.
I have no
village. Okay, there it is.
It's just me.
Oh.
But thank you so
much.
You're
about to have a village. You're going to be a part of the True Purpose team. You'll see the information. I'll put it out there because that's what we're going to be doing. That's exactly why I'm going to start going live throughout every week, and I'm going to put that out there so that you people like you can have a village, and you can come on, and we can talk about your dreams and visions, and I can help. And we can move forward, okay? Well, I want to thank you so much for calling the True Purpose Development Show. You are an absolutely amazing, amazing spirit being out here doing great things, sweetie. We love you, okay?
I love you, too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. That is absolutely wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I want to thank everybody again for calling in, for listening. It's been a long time coming. I better protect my voice. I'm hoarse. But a change is gonna come. Yeah, 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 yeah. Jamiya's home safe. Yes, she is. That's how we're envisioning. I want you guys to enjoy the rest of your day. Create an absolutely awesome day. Create an awesome day. I love you, and I'll see you soon.
Well, I trust that you enjoyed the show tonight. Thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget to download, listen, and share on your iPods and iPods.